All right, so I've got an example here of a fear of lifts. So if anybody has a lift phobia, here's the way to cure your fear today. And so a step-by-step strategy. You can have in your lunch break a nice little step ladder. But this is a really concrete example. We apply the same principle and the same steps to every type of fear. But I like the lift example because it's nice and concrete. And you can see the steps. So here's 12 steps in this particular step ladder for this child who was really fearful of lifts, couldn't even go to a shopping centre that had a lift or a building that had a lift, would avoid going anywhere where there was a lift just in case you had to use it. And so you can see we've broken it up into 12 steps. There's no magic number of the types of the number of steps you need. Sometimes step ladders only need 4 or 5. Sometimes they need more. But you can see if you just go through the list, the first one is that they just had to observe somebody else going in the lift. The next step is watching a friend go up one. And you can see increasingly the steps become more difficult. Where they have to stay inside a lift for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So if you go into a lift ever and you see a child sitting on the floor, you'll know they're probably doing a step ladder because it's really unusual that you have to stay in a lift for 10 minutes and you think, why would we be teaching them that this is normal? But it's about overlearning and learning that even if you do stay in a lift for 30 minutes, nothing bad's going to happen. Or even if you do get stuck, you can probably handle it. And you can see that other step, step 11, we actually get the child to stay in the lift and press the alarm button, or maybe right in the middle, in between two floors, to learn that even if the worst does happen, that they get stuck, they can handle it. While it won't be a very pleasant situation, being stuck in a lift, there is a way that they can handle it and manage it. So you get the idea, gradual, step by step. It's a fairly simple approach. There's nothing magical about it, but it works. It is the most effective way of reducing fears and phobias and worry. We can apply this to general worries as well, and it works very effectively in reducing fear. And we would attach rewards to each of these steps as well. All right, so importantly, another strategy that we use and we teach families that present to our clinic is about paying attention to courageous behaviour. Now, this is about kind of slightly shifting attention, even as teachers or carers of kids, shifting your attention away from when they're feeling nervous and anxious to when they're courageous. So what tends to happen when a child's stressed and nervous, if they go to their parents and they're really worried, is they can often get a lot of attention. And this is not manipulative anyway. It's not, they're not doing it on purpose. It's just, that's one of the normal reactions that happen. That perhaps they're getting more attention and people are spending more time with them when they're nervous and stressed. And we know, simple principle, the more you pay attention to something, the more it increases, right? So we encourage parents to shift the attention away from the anxiety to when they're courageous. So parents needing to pay attention and carers being paying attention to whenever they're doing something courageous or brave, even if it's the smallest thing. Now, I'm not saying that we should dismiss anxiety or ignore it, because I think that is totally the wrong direction as well. We do need to acknowledge when a child's feeling nervous and say, oh, you're feeling really nervous or stressed about this. And paying attention to it, because it is a really normal experience and kids need to know what that emotion is and how to process it. So it's important to acknowledge it, but then also pay attention to when they're being courageous and what they can do then to help themselves feel less nervous in a situation. But the idea of trying to shape the child towards more courageous behaviour and communicating to young people that this is what we want them to do. We want them to be able to put their hand up in class. We want them to be able to assertively put forward their opinion. We want them to be able to take risks and enjoy their life and not let anxiety stop them from doing things that they want to be able to do. All right, so another really important strategy is about encouraging kids to take risks and make mistakes. And kind of I talked earlier about often kids with anxiety who might be more anxious or more sensitive, they don't take as many risks in their life. They don't put their hands up for things or push them to do that. And in a way, our culture has also become quite risk-averse. If you think about the kind of playgrounds that kids get exposed to or the kind of rules now in playgrounds or the things that we're always trying to protect our kids from bad things going wrong and discouraging risk-taking. But this is a really important part of learning how threatening situations really are and how you can cope with that. So encouraging kids to be able to take risks more than what we currently do, I think is really important in kind of shifting away from this increasing problem that we've got with anxiety. But this also means we need to allow kids to make mistakes. And often, we're wanting kids, here lots of parents who complete their kids' homework for them or make sure they get the best marks all the time. And it's okay for kids to screw up. We do screw up. Everybody screws up all the time, and not all the time, but lots of times. And that's normal. It's part of who we are, and it's part of being human. So encouraging kids that it's okay to make mistakes and learn from those, rather than always protecting them and always making things smooth in their environment, because they need to learn this information. All right, so kind of my last strategy I want to talk about is about developing more long-term strategies for approach. Now, when I talk about approach, it's the opposite to avoidance. While avoidance is a really normal thing that we all want to do when we're scared of something, is to stay away from it. But we know that by staying away from it, we don't learn reality. We don't learn what's real about the situation. So approach is the opposite, where we face the situation and approach it and check it out and find out if it is the real threat. So thinking about what long-term solutions you might want to put in place that actually encourage approach rather than avoidance. There's a lot of ways that our current culture and our current schooling environment encourages avoidance. Often kids from an early age are encouraged to take special consideration exams because they're too stressed to be able to handle those stressful exam conditions, or they need extra help for things, or we're kind of encouraging them to stay away from the situation and facing it full on. And while these strategies might be good in the short term, it might reduce the child's anxiety immediately. In the long term, it helps the anxiety to stay around rather than getting rid of it. So we know in terms of preventing anxiety and depression, there was a great study that a colleague of mine, Ron Rapay at Macquarie, did, where he followed a group of four-year-olds right through to adolescence. And he gave half of the parents of these four-year-olds 6 sessions of just the treatment strategies I'm talking about, encouraging approach, encouraging parents to encourage courageous behaviour, and teaching those strategies. And those children who received those parenting, whose parents received those strategies when they were 4, were significantly less likely to be anxious and depressed as adolescents compared to the control group. It was just 6 sessions of these treatment strategies. So in the control group, there was, I think, about 16% of kids had depression, whereas in the group who received this intervention, the parents received the intervention, none of them had a depressive disorder in adolescence. So we know these strategies work in preventing anxiety. We know they work in treating anxiety problems as well. Making sure that if a child is presenting for anxiety problems or anxiety disorders, that they're receiving this kind of intervention where they're facing fears. I've had a number of situations actually just in the last week where I'm hearing about different treatment strategies that are being used for anxiety and depression. And if you're treating a child, or if you're involved in caring for a child with an anxiety disorder, if they aren't receiving a treatment where they're doing these step ladders or facing their fears, then the treatment is not going to be effective, nowhere near as effective as if it's a treatment that's using these strategies. So I think it's really important that kids are receiving the treatments that we know work, and that we know work in terms of reducing anxiety, both in the short term and the long term. So if you suspect anxiety, we think intervening earlier is easier. We know that interventions work across the lifespan. They're not more effective at one time or another. But we think it's easier if it's earlier, because a child hasn't then developed strategies over time. So it's important if you do suspect anxiety to raise it with the parent or with the school, monitoring it in different situations with different people to see, is this normal anxiety or is this something we need to intervene? And there's lots of different help that you can get available from school counsellors, GPs, paediatricians and psychologists. All right, I've already mentioned this about when to intervene, but we did say earlier is easier. But at a minimum, if the anxiety is really having an impact on the child, stopping them from doing things they'd like to be able to do, then that's when I think treatment is important. Or if the parent or child is showing signs of distress. Perfect timing, I'm almost at the end. All right, so there's lots of resources available. We have a lot of resources on our website for these programs. There's a lot of online resources. We've just launched our online program as well for kids having access to the Cool Kids program online, so they don't actually have to come into Macquarie, which is great. And we have that across different ages as well. Just in terms of the take-home points, anxiety is the most common mental disorder in young people. We shouldn't ignore it. And we need to take these problems seriously in our young people. Avoidance leads to a vicious cycle. That's the part of the picture that we need to stop. We need to stop that avoidance cycle. And to do that, we need to get kids to gradually face the situations that they're fearful of. Paying attention to courageous behaviour and encouraging kids to take risks and make mistakes. And importantly, developing solutions. So I want you to, I've got some kind of take-home questions that I want you to think about throughout the day today. In what ways do you think perhaps you or your workplace might be enabling or maintaining anxiety in young people? What are the short-term solutions that you come up with that it might be good in the short term but not in the long term? And maybe considering some strategies or policies or practices that might actually encourage kids to approach rather than avoid situations and help to learn this new information, that situations perhaps aren't as scary as what they think, and that even if they are a little bit scary, perhaps they can handle it. All right, I'll leave you with those thoughts. Thank you very much. I hope you have a really good rest of the day.